بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is, I think, our 18th session from Book 1, Medina Course. And we're working on lesson number 10 right now. We're working on lesson number 10. And before the Salat, we reviewed some of the points, some of the grammatical points related to this lesson, including the possessive pronouns. And we mean by that, possessive pronouns, we mean these pronouns here, ka, hu, ha, and e. We said that these are possessive pronouns used to show possession, like you say, kitabu ka, or kitabu hu, or kitabu ha, or kitabi. Yani kitabu ka means your book. Kitabu hu means his book. Kitabu ha means her book, and kitabi means my book. And the same thing, you can do any noun. You say baytuka, your house, baytuhu, his house, baytuha, her house, and so on. Bayti, my house. Okay, so we talked about that, the possessive pronouns. And we also talked about al-asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns in Arabic language. Two of them we had in this lesson, that is abun and akhun. Abun means a father, and akhun means a brother. And we said that these words, these two words, and three other words in Arabic language, the book says four, we say that there are five, okay, special nouns in the Arabic language that have a special rule for them when these words are in idafa, when they're used in a construct phrase. Okay, if you have this word ab, or this word akh, in a construct phrase, meaning it's the mudalfun, and it has another word connected to it as mudalfun ilayhi. When you have mudalfun, mudalfun ilayhi. This word, ab, and this word, akh, if it is in idalfa, the vowel has to be elongated. If it has dhamma, you have to add waw to make it long. If it has kesra, you have to add ya to make it long. If it has fatta, You have to add alif to make it long. Okay, whenever these five words, special words in Arabic language, whenever they are in idalfa, in a construct phrase, like the father of Muhammad. Okay, the father of Muhammad. Baytullah, the house of Allah. Okay, whenever you have a construct phrase, with these five words, you have to elongate its vowel. Whatever vowel it is, you elongate it. Okay, dhamma is elongated by what letter? Wow. Kesra is elongated by what letter?
Yeah.
And fatta is elongated by what letter? Alif. Okay? So we talked about that. And anyway, we talked about this last week when we went over the grammatical points of this lesson. We talked about it. And you were supposed to reread it for homework. And we went over it again before the Salat. We talked about these words, this word inda, and this word ma'a, and this preposition, li. We talked about them. And I'm not going to explain it in any detail at this point, but only to remind us that the word anda, which has two meanings, it can mean that you are in the presence of someone, and it can also mean that you possess something, you have something. Okay? Sometimes it may be mixed up with this word, ma'a, and sometimes it's mixed up with this preposition, li. Okay, this word anda, it has a similar meaning sometimes as ma'a, which means with, and it has a similar meaning with li, which means belong to, belongs to, belonging to. It has a similar meaning, okay? But anda, if you're using it to say that somebody is with someone, it means they're in their presence, in their special place that they're known for. Okay, the doctor is known to be in the,
Hospital.
Okay, and the teacher is known to be in a school. Okay, and so on, like this. So if you use anda, it means that they're with that person in their place that they're known to be in. But if you use ma, it just means that they're with them. They could be anywhere with them. The meaning is not restricted to any special place. Rather, they're with them any place. Any place. Okay, so that's the difference between the usage when you're using it to show that someone is with someone. If they're in a particular place that they're known for, you say anda. If they're just with them anywhere, then you say ma'a. As far as this one, anda, used to show that somebody has something. Okay? When you are talking about things which are separable, like a book or a box or a car or a key or a house or something like that, then you use عنده. عنده مفتاح. He has a key. عنده سيارة. He has a car. But if you're talking about people, he has a father or a mother, you don't say عنده أب. عنده أم. You don't say عنده. You use لي for that. If you're talking about a part of the body that's inseparable, you don't use عنده, you use لي for that. Okay? وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, this is what we discussed last week from the grammatical points in the English key of the lesson. We talked about it last week. We explained it in detail. You were supposed to reread it for homework. And before the Salat, we went over it briefly. Okay, so if there's something there that's not clear, then as we go through the exercises, inshallah, hopefully it will become clear. And that's basically what we dealt with. We did not deal with, but we will, inshallah, go over today some of the rest of the points that are in this lesson. We will cover some of the others as we go through the exercises. In the class last week, we did exercises 1 through 5. And you should have rewritten them for homework. You should have rewritten them for homework, the exercises that we did in the class. Exercise number 1 are comprehension questions. And exercise number 2 is also... exercise number 2 is dealing with the pronouns. Dealing with the pronouns who and ha. What's the difference between the pronoun who and ha? Who is the pronoun that's used for what? Male, third person, singular. And ha is used for what? Female, third person, singular. So who means he or his. And ha means her or hers. Okay, these are possessive pronouns that are used for when you're talking about somebody, whether they're masculine or feminine, but singular forms. Okay? Exercise number 3 and 4 are dealing with the use of the word عنده. عندك قلم؟ نعم عندي قلم. عندك قلم؟ لا ما عندي قلم. So this exercise deals with the word عنده, and it also deals with the use of the ma, the word ma, mim fatta alif, which is in this case being used for negation. When you use ma for negation, we said that in lesson 1, ma is a noun for istifham, for asking questions. Ma hadha, what is this? Ma dhalika, what is that? Right, that's one type of ma. Now we're saying that another meaning of ma sometimes is used for negation. You say ma عندي سيارة. ما عندي سيارة. عندي means I have. سيارة means what? A car. So if I said عندي سيارة, that means what? I have a car. But if I use ما, that's used for negation, instead of saying عندي, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, instead of saying عندي سيارة, I might say ما عندي سيارة. That ما means that you're negating that statement, making it negation. Instead of it meaning I have a car, it means what? I do not have a car. Okay? So that was exercise number 4. It was showing the use of عنده and also ما of negation, ما نافية. Exercise number 5 was dealing with the pronouns that we have on the board, ka, hu, ha, and e. Okay, connecting them to nouns in idalfa, showing possession. So we did that in class last week, and inshallah you should have written them out for homework. What we want to do right now, we want to go to exercise number 6. Exercise number 6 deals with li, the preposition li, showing possession of something. Something belongs to someone. This belongs to so-and-so. Okay, showing the preposition li when it is connected to a pronoun. When it is connected to a pronoun. Okay? So before the salat, we talked about this a little bit. Okay? So we're going to look at it now.
again.
What prepositions have we had before in lesson number 4? Who remembers the prepositions that we had in lesson number 4? Harf ja, huruf ja. Any preposition that we had in lesson number 4? We had prepositions in lesson number 4. You don't remember any of them? Huh? Ala. Ala. Min. Fi. And ila. We had these 4 prepositions in lesson number 4. Ala means what? Upon or on. Min means from. Fi means in. And ila means to. Like he went to the masjid. These are prepositions we had before. In this lesson we have another preposition, and that is li. So if somebody said hadha li al-mudarris, هذا لي المدرس المدرسي. لي means belonging to. This is for or belonging to someone. So if you say هذا لي المدرسي, it means this belongs to the teacher. Here, whenever you use the preposition لي and the word that is connected to has alif lam, you can delete. You must delete the alif. The alif, which is for Hamzat al-Wasl, for joining, we get rid of it. And you connect it directly. So you say, هذا للمدرسي. هذا للمدرسي. Okay, so لي means belonging to. This is for or belonging to someone. That's the meaning of it. When you use it with the possessive pronouns. Which possessive pronouns? Like we had in this lesson, kaf, ku, ha, and e. When you connect it to a possessive pronoun, like ka, this means, kaf means second person, singular masculine. Okay? Ka is for your, like kitabuka, your book. Okay? So if you connected this to here, to this pronoun, the kasra of li is transformed to a fatta. So you don't say lika, hadha lika. Ya Ahmed, this is for you. You don't say lika, you say laka. And likewise, if you connected it, for example, if you connected it to who, right? This is for him. You're talking about who? Mahmood. Hadha li Mahmood, right? If you don't say Mahmood but you use a pronoun, you say hadha lahu. But here in this case also, the kasra of li becomes fatta. So you say hadha lahu. This is for him. This belongs to him. And the same thing if you have this preposition lam and it's connected to the feminine third person singular pronoun ha, which means hers. Kitabuha, her book. If you said hadha liha, this is for her, then in the same way you have to transform this kasra to a fatta. You don't say liha, you say hadha laha, this is for her, this belongs to her. Okay, so this preposition here, li, it is originally written with kasra, and when it's connected to regular nouns it remains as li, but when it's connected to pronouns, when it's connected to pronouns, the kasra of the li becomes a fatta. Except with the first person, the speaker. First person singular. Instead of it changing, it remains as kasra. And you say, li hadha al-qalamu li. This pen belongs to me. Belongs to me, li. This remains as kasra, but with the other preposition, with the other pronouns, it changes from kasra to fatta. So you have laka, lahu, laha, and other pronouns that we didn't have, like lakum, lahum, and so on. Huh? Like Allah says in the Quran, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ لِي دِين. And this, and I have my deen. You have your deen? I have my deen. Now, you have your deen, which is what? Kufr. Shirk. And I have my deen, which is Islam. Tawheed. Naam. Alright, so this exercise is dealing with the preposition li. Okay, so you have on the, open up to page 58, if you don't have your book open. Page 58 in the Arabic text of the lesson. Exercise number 6. And exercise number 6 is a reading exercise. You see on the on the beginning of that exercise it says Iqra. Then it says Li, which means belonging to me, or this is for me. And you have Laka, that means it belongs to you. If you're speaking to a male, singular. Lahu means it belongs to him. And Laha means this is for or belonging to her. Alright? Okay, we'll take the first one. We'll take the first one. Naam Ahmed. لي أخت واحدة. لي أخت واحدة. What does it mean?
I have one sister.
I have one sister. أخت واحدة. واحد means one, right? But since واحد is being used as a not, as an adjective to describe أخت, and أخت is feminine, so واحد has to be made feminine, right? You don't say wahidun, ukhtun wahidun. That's masculine. You have to say ukhtun wahidatun. And we learn, huh? Page 58. 58. We learned in lesson number 6 that feminine words normally have tarmabuta. And if a word, if an adjective is masculine and you want to make it feminine, you have to do two things. You have to do what? You have to change the last vowel before the tarmabuta to fatha. And then you add to it ta marbuta. Okay, so you have azizun. You want to make it feminine? You say azizatun. Last vowel before tarmabuta always has to be fatha. So you change that vowel, even if it was Dhamma or Kasra or Fatha, it doesn't matter. It was Azizun, Azizan, Azizin. The Azizun, the vowel becomes a single vowel when you add the pronoun to it. I mean, you add the Tarmabuta to it, becomes a single vowel, and that vowel has to be Fatha before Tarmabuta. Okay, so you make a word feminine by adding Ta Marbuta. And before the Tarmabuta, the vowel has to be Fatha. Alright? So we have here what? لي أخت واحدة. Okay, sentence number 2. نعم نجم الدين.
لك أخ لا مولي أخ.
جيد. Question first. لك أخ. What does it mean? Do you have a brother? لك ك you أنت singular masculine. Second person, alaka akhun? Answer, la. Ma li akhun. Ma li. Li, these two words by themselves, li akhun, means what? I have a brother. So ma of negation makes it from a statement of affirmation to a negation. Li akhun, I have a brother. Ma li akhun, I do not have a brother. So the answer, do you have a brother? He said, La. Ma li akhun? La, no. I do not have a brother. No, I do not have a brother. La. First answer the question, La, and then make your statement. In negation. Ma li akhun? La. Ma li akhun? Somebody said to you, Alaka ukhtun? You can answer in the affirmative and say, Naam. لي أخت, right? Or you can answer negation and say لا ما لي أخت. طيب. Okay, question number 3. Sentence number 3. نعم إبراهيم.
أخت
أختي لها طفل صغير.
What's the vowel on the end of صغير? صغير. صغير with a single dhamma. صغيري بالكسرة. صغير والضمة تنوين. أختي لها طفل صغير. He said he thought at the end of the sentence you don't utilize vowels. That's what he thought. So who can clarify? And if you err in the clarification, you will be in the same boat with him. You will be lining up for the Asa. Huh? Naam, Abdul Karim.
Well, my understanding.
Wait a minute. We just had his understanding. We want to know what is correct. We don't want anybody's understanding.
How do you know what's correct if it's not my understanding?
Some people know what's correct. We're looking for somebody who knows what's correct. Because if you say it wrong, I'm saving you now. Because if you say it wrong, we're going to put you in the line for the whipping. So we're saving you. That's mercy. Rahma. Naam. Ahmed.
In this class.
Naam.
The author of the book is teaching it to us.
Naam.
Teaching us, we have to finish every vowel, every word.
In this class, we're doing it the way it is in the book. And the way that we have agreed upon for training and drilling, we have to pronounce every vowel on every word. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you won't really know. Is it a Dhamma or a Kesra? Somebody said it's Kesra. Somebody said it's Dhamma. Somebody said it's Tanween. The only way you know is if you train yourself to know what words, what vowel words end with. And if you don't know, wallahi, sometimes you change the vowel from Dhamma to Kesra, you change the meaning to something that is evil. Because in Arabic, the vowel on the end of the word tells you its function in the sentence. And if you change the function, you may change the meaning. And it might be a meaning that you change it to Walaikum Salaam, which is evil. So be careful. You have to know the vowel ending. You have to know, is it tanween or is it a single vowel? Because this tells you the function of the word in a sentence and how it works and what is it supposed to mean. By having alif lam or tanween, it makes a difference. By having a single vowel or double vowel, it makes a difference. If it has dhamma or kasra or fatha, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in the meaning of the sentence. Okay, so we have agreed in this class for the purpose of training that you pronounce all the vowels on all the words. Although, in normal Arabic speech, we agree with you, Ya Ibrahim. In normal Arabic speech, if you stop on a word, you don't pronounce the last vowel, Naam. But in this class, I have signed you up to pronounce every letter on every word. And you have agreed to it. So if you don't do it, I will give you some compensation. And I won't be giving you money for compensation. I will give you some lashes with this stick. Alright? طيب. Okay. أختي لها طفل صغير. What does it mean, Ya Ibrahim? My sister, she has a small baby or small child, an infant. طفلٌ. أختي لها طفل صغير. أختي means my sister, right? How do you just say sister? أختٌ. But when you put ya on it, the pronoun ya, the possessive pronoun, becomes my sister. أختي. If you wanted to say his sister, you would say what? أختُهُ. Her sister. Uktuha. Your sister? Uktuk. He must be hanging out with somebody he was with. Uktuka. With Dhamma. Marfu'un. All nouns are marfu'un with Dhamma unless something changes. Okay, unless something changes. Fayyib? So he said, Ukhti, my sister. Laha, she has. Tiflun Sagirun. Tiflun means what?
Small child.
A child, a small child, infant. Sagirun means what? small. Naam. Tiflun sagheerun. A small child, an infant. Taib, number four. Hanif.
Zamilun.
Zamil.
Zamil.
How do you say this word again?
Zamilun. Zamilun.
It has ya on the end.
Zamilun. Zamili.
Ah, Zamili. That ya on the end is the possessive pronoun showing showing first person. No. Zamili. Naam, go ahead.
Lahu.
Lahu.
Ahun. Wa-ukhtu. Wa-ukhtun.
Naam. Zamili. Lahu. Ahun. Wa-ukhtun. What does Zamil mean? The word Zamil.
Colleague.
Person who works with you or studies with you. Your classmate or your colleague in the office, wherever you work. Okay, person who works with you or person who studies with you. Zamil does not mean my friend. It does not mean my friend. Sadiq means friend. Zamil does not mean my friend. It means the person who works with you. They may not be your friend at all. Some people you work with, you hate them. Especially if they are mushrikun. Huh? Zamil means the person you work with. Means the person in the class with you, your classmate. Okay? So pay attention to this. Because sometimes these words are used interchangeably and they are not really of the same meaning. Zamil is not the same as Sadiq. Sadiq means friend. They may not go to school with you, they may not work with you. But it's your friend. The person who goes to school with you or works with you, then that's your Zamil. Now it's possible that your friend might be in your class with you. That's possible. But in general, when you speak about classmate, or the person who works with you, associate on the job, colleague, that's Zamil. And friend is generally somebody who is close to you. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they work with you or go to school with you. Okay, so Zamili means my colleague or my classmate. Lahu akhun wa uktun means what? He has a brother and a sister. Taib, number 5, next page, page 59. Okay, number 5 says here, this is a note for us. Naqulu. Naqulu means we say. Huh? We say. This is how we speak in Arabic. In Arabic we say, Indi kitabun. Talking about things which are separable, you use inda. Indi with me is a book. I have a book. وَنَقُولُ and we say لِي أَخٌ I have a brother. Notice in the case of the book you are using the word عندي, and in the case of your brother or sister or mother or father you are saying لِي. So لِي is used for people who are your relations, and it's also used for parts of the body that are inseparable. As far as anda is used for things which are separable. So you don't say, for example, you do say li akhun, but you do not say indi akhun. Don't say indi akhun. Say indi kitabun, indi qalamun, indi baytun, indi sayaratun, indi thawbun, anything that's separable. But as far as I have a brother, I have a sister, I have a mother, I have a father, I have an uncle, I have an aunt, I have a cousin, no. You don't say عندي أخٌ, but rather you say لي أخٌ. This is a fine point that we mentioned last week in reading the grammatical points in the exercise, and we talked about it before the Salat. Naam.
We know it's wrong to use عندي for like family and
Naam.
Things that are inseparable. But what if we use لي for the other things too that you use عندي for, is it wrong or?
Yeah, it's wrong. It's improper use. Okay, you shouldn't say li qalamun. No, you should say indi qalamun. Okay? If somebody used them in the wrong manner, okay, it's not a sin. It's not a sin, right? We're not saying Allah is going to punish you for it. We're not going to say you're from the Ahl Bidah. Right? We're just going to say it's a mistake. And we want to try to use it properly. So we remind each other. It's difficult to use them properly because the meaning when you translate in English is the same. So when we're thinking in English, the meaning is the same. So we just use them either way. So that's why the Shaykh is making the note here. He's reminding us, be careful how you use these two words. They are not the same. Okay, in time you might get used to it. And sometimes, even after you know it well, you might just make a mistake. Because of your English thinking, you might just use the wrong one. Okay, it's not a major problem. But if you learn it, and you get it, and you use it properly, it's better. Because we want to use Arabic the way it's supposed to be used. This is very important to us. We are not learning Arabic just to be in the Arabic society. So we can go and speak to the Christian Arabs. We are learning Arabic so that we can read the Quran and study the Sunnah and learn the Deen of Allah and communicate with the Muslims who might happen to be secondarily Arabs. But we are not concerned about them being Arabs. We are concerned about what? About Islam, about Muslims. So we want to use it properly. طيب, exercise number 7. Ma'a. And we said about ma'a that ma'a should be distinguished from عنده, because عنده has two meanings. عنده, like you say, عندي قلمٌ, that means I have a pen. عنده also has another meaning. هو عند المدرسي, he is with the teacher. عنده also means to be with someone. Okay, to be with someone. So we want to be careful between the use of the word عنده and ma'a, because ma'a also means to be with. Okay? But ma'a is general in meaning, being with. And عنده is special, is limited, is restricted in being with. When you say عنده, it means you're with that person in their special place. You're with the doctor in the hospital. You're with the teacher in the school. But when you say ma'a, it means you're with the doctor anywhere. You might be with the doctor at the masjid. Or you might be with the doctor at the baseball field. That doesn't have anything to do with the doctor, right? So here you're not going to use enda, because enda means you're with him in his special, particular, special place. But ma'a just means you're with him anywhere. So ma'a is general and enda is specific. Although both of them mean you're with someone. But one is enda, you're with him in his special, particular, known place. And ma just means you're with him. Okay, this is also a fine point that people will not pay any attention to. But now as students who are learning Arabic, we should pay attention to this so we can use it properly. Alright? So ma means generally with someone. Okay? This is also a reading exercise. And part of the reading exercise is that you pronounce the words correctly. And part of the reading exercise is that you put all the vowels in their proper place. A noun that comes after ma has to take kasra. Are you with me? A noun after ma has to take kasra. It's majroor because of idafa. The noun that comes after ma is majroor because of idafa. It has to take kasra. So if you read a word after ma and you read it with dhamma, we're going to ring the buzzer and knock you over the head with this stick lightly. Alright? So be careful. This stick is long. It can reach you, Ahmed. It can reach Khalid. Tayyib? And the other part of the reading exercise here is comprehending the meaning. Alright? Okay, who'll take the first one? Naam, Ibrahim.
Kharaja Hamidun Ma'a Khalidin.
Kharaja Hamidun Ma'a Khalidin. Hamidun Khalidin. Hamidun is with Bamma, right? Tanween. Khalidin is with Kasra Tanween. Why? Because originally nouns should always take Bamma, unless something changes it. The first one had nothing to change it. And the second one has Ma'a, which changes it to Kasra, to be Majroor. Okay? So you say Kharaja Hamidun Ma'a Khalidin. What does it mean, Ya Ibrahim? Hamid left. Or more specifically, he exited. He went out. If you say he left, it just means that he was here with us and he left. Maybe he went over there. If he didn't go out of the place where we are, you don't say kharaja. You say zahaba. He went. He went from here to somewhere else. But if he goes outside the place where you are, then you say kharaja. So kharaja, it doesn't really mean he left. It doesn't mean he went. It means he went outside. He was inside someplace, he went outside. Okay? So pay attention to the difference between ذهبَ, he went. خرجَ, he went outside. طيب, number two. نعم, حنيف.
ذهب الطبيب مع المهندس.
ذهب الطبيب مع المهندس. ذهب الطبيب مع المهندس. طيب, what does it mean? Did he go out? Or did he just go? He went. ذهب. The doctor went with the engineer. ذهب الطبيب with ضمة. مع المهندس with كسرة. Okay, also, we can note here, although it's not necessary at this point for you to worry about it, but خرج حامدٌ and ذهب الطبيب, in both of these sentences you have a verb and you have a noun. The verb here, خرج or ذهب, is followed by a noun. That noun is the subject, the one who's doing the action. The noun that follows that verb is the subject, the one who's doing the action. Okay? Sometimes the subject might precede the verb in Arabic, and sometimes it may follow. So a noun that follows a verb, it could be the subject, the fa'il, the one who's doing the action, and it might also be the object of the verb, the one that the action happened to. It could be the subject, doer of the action, or it could be the object that the action happened to. So be careful that you pay attention. The noun following the verb, is it the subject, the one who's doing the action, or is it the object of the action, that the thing that the action happened to? You have to pay attention to that. For now, you're not responsible. But in any case, it's something that later on you will be responsible to know and to be able, and you have to distinguish. Because here, since Hamid is the subject doer of the action, it has to be marfu'un with dhamma. And the same thing, at-tabibu is the one who did the action. Who went? The doctor went. So he's the doer of the action. The doer of the action is always marfu'un. It always takes dhamma. It's marfu'un. Okay? So later on you have to learn about the verb and the subject of the verb, the one who's doing the action, the verb and the object of the verb, the one that the action happened to. Later on you will learn about this. Not now, but in any case, just so that you're aware that there is such a thing. Okay? Why does Hamid have dhamma? For now, it's sufficient for us to say, well, there's nothing changing it, so we leave it at dhamma. But later on you have to know that it has dhamma because it is the doer of the action, the subject of the verb. طيب, sentence number three. نعم, Bilal.
جلس المدرس مع المديري.
What does it mean, Bilal? The teacher sat with the mudir. Mudir means what?
Principal,
headmaster, director, something like this. Okay? The teacher sat with the mudir. Does this mean he sat with him in his office?
No,
because ma is general. This means he sat with him. Maybe he sat with him in the cafeteria. Maybe he sat with him at the gymnasium. Maybe he sat with him in the hospital. One of them could have been sick, or they're going to visit another Muslim brother, right? By the way, do we have any brothers in the hospital or sisters in the hospital that we need to be visiting?
There's a brother named Awad Ilaibi in Harlem.
Awad Ilaibi?
He's been in the hospital for 20 years.
He's paralyzed. La ilaha illallah. Oh, I know. Yeah, in the hospital where Khalil is the chaplain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know Khalil.
Yeah, Khalil, the hospital that you're talking about, Khalil's father pretty much built that hospital. His name is on the hospital. Khalil, one of the Muslim brothers, now. Unfortunately, his father is not a Muslim, but may Allah guide him to Islam. Anyway, now, there are a few Muslims in the hospital who are in very, very bad condition. May Allah help to make it easy for them. It's a hospital for people who have, not just handicap, but like people... Yeah, disabilities and paralysis. They can't function, you know. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah help them. MashaAllah. Some of those brothers, I forgot the name of the hospital. It's named after his father.
Carter.
Yeah, what did you say? Carter?
Carter, yes.
Henry Carter.
Google it up, you know.
Yeah.
Henry Carter, right.
Now, some of those brothers, MashaAllah, if you visit them, akhi, their spirit is so good, you can't imagine the condition at the end, that they still have a good thinking about Islam. They are not depressed, akhi. They are not angry with the world. MashaAllah. Unbelievable, akhi. SubhanAllah. And sometimes we have to visit people like that so that we can see how ignorant we are when we complain about our condition. Now,
the brother, MashaAllah, he has very limited uses of anything, you know, besides his face and a little bit of his hands.
Now,
but he still, you know, reads the Quran, you know, he has like a something he puts in his mouth to turn the pages.
Naam, naam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah reward them and keep them patient and firm until they die in a condition that's pleasing to their Lord and us also. Ameen, Ya Rabbi Alameen. Tayyib, number four. Naam. Number four. Naam, Ahmed.
من معك يا علي معه زميل
One more time.
من معك يا علي معي زميل
جيد من معك يا علي معي زميلي I just didn't hear you good the first time, that's all. Now, so what's the meaning of this question? من معك يا علي Who is with you, O Ali? Who is with you? Man ma'aka. Who is with you, Ya Ali?
My associate is with me. My colleague is with me.
My associate, my colleague is with me. Ma'i zamili. Now, number five. Now, Ibrahim. Aminatu. طيب آمنة معها زوجها What does it mean?
Her husband is with her Amina
Yeah, Amina Husband is with her Literally Amina with her Is her husband Okay Or you can say Amina Her husband is with her, or something like this. Now, okay, ma'aha with her, zawjuha her husband. Ha means her, possessive pronoun for feminine, singular, third person. Ha ma'aha zawjuha.
You could just say Amina is with her husband, right?
Amina, you could say that, but really, it doesn't mean. Amina is with her husband. It means Amina's husband is with her. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Although ultimately it boils down to the same thing, right? But if you said, it would become more clear if you said, that 3-year-old boy is with his mother. Or you said, his mother is with him. No, he is with his mother.
No.
I mean, yes, they're together. But there's some slight, Annie, variation. Subject change. Now, but I mean, ultimately, the meaning is the same. Okay, no problem. Taib, number six. Naam. Fadl. Yes.
من خرج معه خرج معه عمي.
Okay, try to think on the meaning of these words. What does it mean? Try to think about it, okay? Just reflect on it. Kharaja abi min al-bayti. Man kharaja ma'ahu? Kharaja ma'ahu ammi. Okay, I'm going to ask you the meaning of some words first. What's the meaning of abi? My father. What's the meaning of ammi? My uncle. Paternal or maternal uncle? Paternal. What do we mean by paternal uncle?
Father's brother.
Father's brother. Maternal uncle? Mother's brother. Tayyib? Okay. What's the meaning of kharaja? He went out. So kharaja abi means what? My father went out. Min al bayti, from the house. Man kharaja ma'ahu. Who went out? Ma'ahu, with him. Kharaja ma'ahu ammi. My uncle went out with him. Tayyib. Okay, exercise number 8 is dealing with the difference between regular nouns when they have a possessive pronoun attached to it, like ka or hu or ha, and special nouns. That's from the 5 special nouns, al-asma al-khamsa, like abun and akhun. What's the difference between them? These special nouns, as opposed to regular nouns, have a special rule that's applied to them and only these 5 words. And that rule is applied to them only when they are in an idafa construction, a construct phrase. Only when they are connected to another noun in a construct phrase. Like if you said, the father of the mudir, walaikum salam, or the brother of the teacher, or the brother of Maryam, or the father of Aisha. When they're in idafa like this, with this construct phrase of, okay, showing ownership or possession or relationship between two things, when we have this idafa construction that we had in lesson 5, mudafun, mudafun ilay, that is the only time when these 5 words have the special rule. Any other time they act like regular nouns. They take dhamma, kasra, fatha, tanween, alif, lam, and so on, like regular nouns. But if they're in idafa, only then, whatever vowel that special word has is elongated. If it has a dhamma, it's elongated to what? It's elongated with what? With wow. If it has a kasra, it's elongated with?
Yeah.
And if it has fatha, it's elongated with? Alif. Okay? So this is what we're looking at here. Okay, we notice that in the first line, we have a normal noun. Okay? Baytun. If you add a possessive pronoun to it, you have to do something before you add the possessive pronoun. What do you have to do to baytun to add ka or hu or ha to it? You gotta remove one of the vowels. You gotta remove the tanween. That's the first thing you gotta do. Remove the tanween. And then you can connect it to the pronoun, right? So baytun, if you remove the tanween, with ka, it becomes what? Baytuka. With hu, it becomes what? Baytuhu. With ha, it becomes? Baytuha. And with E, ya al-mutakallam, it becomes what? Bayti. Okay, so in every case, what we did, we removed the tanween and left the vowel as it is, and just add the pronoun directly to it. Except in the last one, with E, with the ya al-mutakallam, we not only removed the tanween, but we changed the vowel from dhamma to what?
Kisra.
Because ya al-mutakallam, ya, it always has to be preceded by kisra. So that's the only one. The rest of them, just remove the tanween and leave the vowel just as it is. Now that's with normal nouns. Okay, we could take any noun and we do the same thing with. We have babun with ka would be what? Babun with ka would be what? Babu ka. With who? It would be what? Babu who. With ha? Babu ha. With ya? Babi. Same thing with kitabun. With ka would be what?
K Kitabuka. With who? Kitabuhu. With ha? Kitabuha. With ya? Kitabi. Okay, so that's easy. We got that, right? We add a pronoun, get off the tanween, connect the possessive pronoun to the word directly, we're finished. These five special words, we have to do something else. Not only do we get rid of the tanween, but before we connect the possessive pronoun to it, we have to do what? After we get rid of the tanween, we have to do what?
We have to add
what?
A vowel.
We have to add a vowel. What vowel do we add? Is vowel a vowel?
Nope.
Oh.
What is it?
It's consonant.
A consonant. Vowel is a consonant. Okay. Actually, the rule concerning this, right, is we don't want to say you add a vowel. That's what they said in the book. I don't want to use that way of explaining it. I want to explain it my own way. And I have the right to do that, right?
No.
Because I'm the teacher here. Instead of saying add a vowel, what do we want to do? Because it's not always going to be adding a vowel. Sometimes it's going to be adding a ya. Sometimes it's going to be adding an aleph. So really the rule here is not add vowel. The rule is elongate the vowel. If the vowel is dhamma, you add a vowel. But if the vowel is kasra, you don't add vowel. You add ya. If the vowel is fatha, you add what?
Aleph.
So the rule here really is, with these five words, if you join them in idafa with a noun or pronoun, doesn't matter if it's a noun or a pronoun, when you put it in idafa, you have to remove the tanween and you have to elongate the vowel. Elongate the vowel. If it's dhamma, okay, wow, no problem. But if it's kesra, it's not adding a wow. If it's kesra, you elongate the kesra with ya. Okay, it's clear? Okay, that's what we're looking at here. Okay, so we have the word abun. If you add ka to it, it becomes what? Abu, elongation. Abu ka. If you add hu, it becomes what? Abu hu. If you add ha, it becomes what?
Abu
ha. And if you add ya, and mutakallim, the first person, it becomes what?
Abi.
Okay, because whenever you add ya, the vowel before ya has to be kasra. So we're not going to add a vowel here. Rather, we're going to change it to a kesra and elongate the kesra for ya al-mutakallam becomes abi. And this is the same rule for all five of these special words. In this lesson we have two of them. We have abun and we have akhun. So akhun, if you add ka to it, it becomes what? Akhuka. Okay, get rid of the tanween, elongate the vowel. The vowel is dhamma, you add wow. So it becomes akhuka. If you add hu, it becomes what? Akhuhu. If it's ha, it becomes what?
Akhuha.
Akhuha. And if you add ya, it becomes what?
Akhi.
Akhi. Okay, tell me the meaning. What is the meaning of akhuhu?
His brother.
What is the meaning of akhuka?
Your brother.
Singular masculine. Your brother. What is the meaning of akhuha? Her brother. What is the meaning of akhi?
My brother.
That's a word that all of us know, right? Akhi, akhi, akhi. Even some of the kafirs, right? Akhi, akhi. Salaam alaikum. Can you spare some change? Tayyib. Okay, so this exercise is dealing with what? It's dealing with these special words when they're in idafa. Only when they're in idafa, you have to elongate its vowel, okay? Okay, who take number one? Read number one, first sentence. Sadiq?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Abi wa ummi fil bayti.
What does it mean?
My father and my mother in the house.
My father and my mother are in the house. Now, Abi is elongated because why? Because you're talking about yourself. My father. And Ummi has this sound because what? My mother. Filbeiti, why does Filbeiti have kasra?
Because of
fi. Because of haraf ja, fi. Whenever a noun is followed by fi, ala, ila, min li, then it has to take kasra, becomes majrur. Huh? Majrur with kasra. Taib, number two. Naam, Ibrahim.
Aina abuka ya hamidu? Zahaba ila suqi.
Taib, aina abuka ya hamidu? Why is it hamidu and not hamidun? Ya and nida. The vocative ya, whenever a noun comes after it, if that noun has tanween, you have to get rid of the tanween. It has to take a single dhamma. Okay? So the question is what? Aina abuka ya hamidu? What does it mean?
Where's your father?
Father, O Hamid. He answered what? Dhahaba ila suqi. He went to the market. As-suq. As-suq is the marketplace. When we say as-suq, we mean a place where there are a number of businesses. Not one shop, that's not a suq. One shop is not a suq. Okay? But when you have three or four or five shops together, that's the suq, the marketplace. Alright? As-suq. Tayyib, number three. Naam, Ahmed.
Akhuka tabibun? La, huwa mudarrisun.
Naam, this is a question. That's hamzatul istifham. The first hamza is for making a question. The next hamza is part of the word akh, right? Akhuka tabibun? What does it mean?
Your brother a doctor.
Is your brother a doctor? If you took off the first hamza, it would just be akhuka tabibun. What does that mean? Your brother is a doctor. That's a statement. Akhuka tabibun. But when you put hamza in front of it, it changes the statement into a what? Question. Change it into a question. Akhuka tabibun? Is your brother a doctor? La. Huwa mudarrisun. What does that mean?
No,
he's a teacher. He's a teacher. There's a difference between a tabib and a mudarris, right? A tabib is different from a mudarris. A tabib works where? Mustashfa. And a mudarris works in where? Madrasa. Naam. Taib. Number four. Naam, go ahead.
Zainabu fil
Riyadh.
Riyadh.
Naam, finish. Fil Riyadh. Naam. Zainabu fil Riyadh. What does that mean?
Zainab is in Riyadh.
Zainab is in Riyadh. Where's Riyadh?
Saudiya.
The capital, the asima of Saudiya. Zainabu with a single vowel. Why Zainabu does not have tanween? Why does it not have tanween? Feminine proper nouns. Proper nouns. Proper nouns means the name of a person. A female's name. Right? Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Right? What about masculine proper nouns? Do they take tanween?
Yes.
Masculine proper nouns take tanween. Unless a masculine proper noun ends with ta marbuta. Like, no, not Mustafa, ends with alif maksura. Mustafa. Hamzatu. Hamza. Usamatu. Muawiyatu. Naam. Unless it's a masculine proper noun, but it ends with the feminine ending, tarmabuta. That tarmabuta prohibits it from taking tanween. Okay, so feminine proper nouns and some masculine proper nouns, those that end with tarmabuta, do not take tanween. Zainabu fil Riyadi. Go ahead, finish the sentence. Akhuha fi al-Ta'ifi.
Wa abuha fi al-Madinatu al-Munawwaratu.
Tayyib. Read it the last part one more time. Wa abuha
fi al-Madinatu al-Munawwaratu.
Munawwaratu. Al-Madina, if Medina has Kisra, then the not describing it also have to have Kisra. Okay? أخوها في الطائف. What does that mean? أخوها, her brother is in Taif. What's Taif? What's that? That's a city. That's the name of a city. Huh? Anybody know where it's at? It's in Saudi. Where in Saudi? Is it near Riyadh? Is it near Medina?
It's near
Mina,
right?
It's near Mina. Okay, it's not right exactly. Mina is near Mecca, right?
No.
So we say that instead of saying Taif is near Mina, we say it's near Mecca. Mecca is more important than Mina. I mean, Mina is important now. Mecca is Mecca. All right, Taif is a city near Mecca. It's a mountainous city near Mecca.
Come to Abu Siyadah.
Huh?
Come to Siyadah fi Mecca ila
Come? Al Masafa bi Siyara?
Yeah.
Yani it's approximately 45 minutes maybe from Mecca. It depends. The roads now, they have new roads. In the old days, when we were there, I mean, when I went to Taif, that was in 1979. That was a long time ago. Now they have new roads. I never went after that again. But that time, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he used to have, in the summertime, the government used to move to Taif. Because it's very hot in Saudi Arabia, right? Taif is in the mountains, it's cool. So the government from Riyadh, they used to go to Taif. And Sheikh Ibn Baz, he used to be in Taif, so we went to visit him in Taif. But that time, the roads is very old, like small roads. Now probably they have new roads because it's in the mountains. So we used to go small road up in the mountain. It's kind of scary. The roads, winding roads, and they used to be small at that time. But that's a long time ago. So now maybe it's probably better. Hopefully, they probably have new roads now. So Taif is a city that's near Mecca. It's a famous city, right? In history, because that was the place, one of the places. Now, where the Prophet ﷺ went to give dawah, and they told the children to throw stones at him.
Right.
Naam. And that was the place where the angel, that Allah could control him out, sent the angel to the Prophet and said, what are you going to do with them? He said, just give me the order. We smashed them. Wiped them out. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, what? He said, no. Perhaps from their offspring will come people who will believe in Allah. Subhanallah. Naam. طيب. Okay, what's the end of the sentence? أخوها في الطائف. Her brother is in Taif. وأبوها في المدينة المنورة. And her father is where? المدينة المنورة. Or المدينة النبوية. النبوية. نعم. City of Prophethood. Number five. Who will read? نعم. Bilal. وزير
تاجر
تاجر
خبير.
نعم. هذا الطالب أبوه وزير وأخوه تاجر كبير. What does it mean? هذا الطالب, what does that mean? This student. أبوه Wazirun. His father is a wazir. What's a wazir? A minister in the government. Wa'akhuhu, what does it mean? And his brother is a tajirun. What does that mean?
Merchant.
Kabirun. What kind of merchant?
A big merchant.
Tajirun kabirun. His father is a wazir in the government, and his brother is a big merchant. Naam. So probably he is doing well, right? If his father don't help him, he go to his brother. So give me some cash. Number six, page 60. Exercise number six, a tamreen as-sadis. This exercise is dealing with what? This. Oh, I'm sorry, there's one more. That's not exercise number six. That's sentence number six. We didn't finish the exercise. One more sentence is remaining. Number six on the top of the page 60. Who will read it? Naam. Nobody over on this side? Alright. Najmuddin. Oh, you want to read? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, we haven't heard from you.
Ila.
Al-Madrasati. Al-Madrasati.
Wa dhahaba abi ila
ila
ila ila ila lijamiat
al-jami'ah. What's the last vowel on al-jami'ah? T. Ila al-jami'ati. Okay, dhahaba akhi ila al-madrasati wa dhahaba abi ila al-jami'ati. What does it mean? Dhahaba akhi ila al-madrasati. Anybody? My brother went to the madrasa, the school. وَذَهَبَ أَبِي إِلَى الْجَامِيَةِ. And my father went to the Jamia. What does Jamia mean? University. Al-Madrasa means what?
School.
The school. Al-Jamia means what?
The university.
أخي means what?
My brother.
أبي, my father. ذَهَبَ means what? He went. خَرَجَ means what?
He went out.
Went out. Now, ila means what?
To.
Ala means what?
Lost.
On or upon. Min means what?
Oh.
From. Naam. Jayid, naam. Huh? Okay, naam. Fadl. Okay, next exercise. This is the last exercise. Naam. This is the last exercise. It begins with a clarification of the difference. Exercise number 9, the Tamrin Atasya, begins with a clarification of the difference between masculine proper nouns, regular masculine proper nouns that take tanween, and the exceptional proper nouns which do not take tanween. Masculine proper nouns which do not take tanween. Okay, so we're saying that masculine proper nouns, normally they take tanween, but there are some of them which are exception to that rule. Some masculine proper nouns do not take tanween, and they are which ones? The ones that end with ta marbuta. So they're showing you here a whole line of masculine proper nouns that take tanween, and a whole line of masculine proper nouns that do not take tanween, and the group that does not is because they end with ta marbuta. Okay, so we have on the first line, okay, somebody read one at a time. Somebody take the first name. Naam, Ahmed. Muhammadun. Naam. Second one. Who? Huh?
Khalidun.
Third one. Somebody.
Hamidun.
Fourth one. Abbas. With a shadd on the back. Abbasun. Last one. Mahmudun. Okay, next line. These end with ta marbuta, therefore they don't take tanween. First one. Again? No lamb. There's no lamb in it. It's ha, mim, za, tarmut. You're saying hamel. There's no lamb.
I'm saying hamel.
Hamaz. Oh, that's not za. It's za. Okay, read it again.
Hamazatu.
Okay, there's a mistake here in my book. I don't know if it is in yours.
I was going to tell you that.
Yeah, there's a fatah on the meme. There's no fatah on the meme.
Yeah.
It's sukoon on the meme. So it should be hamzatu. 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 Okay, next one. Naam. Talhatu. With ta, huh? With not ta, ta. Talhatu. Next one. Usamatu. Next one. Again? You're not looking at it.
Mu'awiyatu.
Naam. Mu'awiyatu. Last one. Ikrimatu. Look, there's no long vowels in this word. How do you pronounce it? Again? Ikrimatu. 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 Tayyib. Walaykum salam. Okay, so the end of this, lesson here is this exercise related to the pronunciation of these words properly. You have to remember all of these are masculine proper nouns, but some of them take tanween and some of them do not. Some of them take tanween and some of them do not. Okay, so when you read it, I want to hear the last vowel on the end of the word. Is it tanween or is it not tanween? Okay? We want to know, is it kasra or dhamma or fatha? I want to hear everything clearly, right? Alright? Okay. Okay, who got the first one? Let's start from the right side. Anybody with the first one? Anybody over here? Abdul Haq. Oh, it's the end of the lesson on page 60. Iqra. Oh, by the way, I didn't read the instruction, right? I'll read the instruction first. It says, Iqra al-asma'a al-atiyata. What does that mean? Iqra? Read. Al-asma'a, the names. Al-atiya, the following. Wadbut. What does that mean? Correct. Precision. Okay. Awakhiriha. Wadbut. Wadbut awakhiraha. Okay, because that's a verb. Wadbut means make precise or accurate. Awakhiraha. What does awakhiraha mean? Their endings. Ha is referring to the words, right? Plural. Their endings. Awakhiraha. Wadbut awakhiraha. Okay, so we want to hear the endings of the words. Precise, exact. Dhamma, kasra, fatha, tanween. Single dhamma. We want to hear everything the way it's supposed to be. Okay, Abdul Haq, first word. Khalid, what?
Khalidun.
With tanween dhamma. Naam. Next one. Who wants it? You with us? Okay, go ahead.
Hamzatu.
Hamzatu. With a single dhamma vowel. Next one.
Ammarun.
With a shadda on the meme. Ammarun. Naam. With a tanween. Next one. We're going across this way. Anybody over here? Naam, Ibrahim. Huh? Now we're after Ammar. We just read this one, this one here.
Okay.
Naam. No. Yeah, this one.
Okay.
Hamza, Noon, Seen. Should be Fatta, Fatta. Hamza, Fatta, Noon, Fatta, Na, Seen with Tanween. Who read the third word?
Somebody read
Bilal read it.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Ammarun.
He read the third word. He read the first one, he read the second one, he read the third one. Ammarun. Okay, this one it should be what? Bilal, help us. Huh? Anasun. 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 Type next one, we're going across this way. Next one. You go ahead. Muawiyatun, he said. Does it have tanween?
Awesome.
It has tarmabuta. No tanween. Read it again.
Muawiyah.
You got to hear the vowel. What's the vowel on it?
Muawiyatu.
With a single vowel. Next one. Najmuddin. Hamidun with tanween. Next one. Any over here? Go ahead.
Isamatul.
That's not a kasra, that's a dhamma.
It's a dhamma?
Yeah, that's a dhamma.
Isamitul.
Okay, E. E is dhamma?
No.
It's not kasra, it's dhamma.
Oh. Usamitul.
That's a, the meme has a fatha, not kasra.
Isa.
Dhamma first. Sa. Ma. Fatha.
Usamatu.
Usamatu. Next one. You want to take the next one? Take the next one. Ibrahim.
Ikrimatu.
Ikrimatu. Next one. Anybody? Naam. Hanif. Abbasun. With shadda on the ba. Abbasun. Next one. Naam. Again. Muhammadun. Muhammad. With shadda on the meem. Muhammadun. Naam. Last one. Talhatu, without tanween. Talhatu. Okay, at the end of this lesson we have kalimat al-jadida. Okay, I want you to close your book or just don't look at it. I'm going to read the words to you. I want you to tell me the meaning. Al-kalimat al-jadida, the new words. Az-zamilu.
Classmate.
Classmate. Or colleague. Az-zawju.
Husband.
Husband or?
Wife.
Or wife. Az-zawj means husband, also means wife, spouse. Naam. Although it's normally used for husband, and if you want to be specific, you can say az-zawjatu with termabuta. But otherwise, if you say az-zawj, it means husband, and az-zawj also means wife. Naam. Naam. Wahidun. One. Fata.
A young man.
Ma'a. With At-Tiflu, child or infant. Al-Kuwaitu, Kuwait, that's a country, right? Al-Lughatu, the language or language. Naam. Tayyib. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover in lesson number 10, and there's still a few minutes remaining, so we might want to if there are any questions, we'll take any questions related to this lesson. Or I will just give you an introduction to the next lesson. Naam. Any question about this lesson? Anything that's not clear of what we just covered? Okay, I'm going to give you an introduction to the next lesson. Okay, lesson number 11. If you look at the key on page 28 in the English part of the book, page 28 of the English key. Just quickly, we're going to look at this and then we will stop. Okay, but just in case if I forget, the homework for today is to write out the exercises that we did in class today. Write out the exercises that we did in class and look at the next lesson, number 11. Okay, what we're going to read now is the English key for lesson 11. I want you to reread it for homework, and I want you to also read the dialogue for lesson number 11. For homework, it's a very brief dialogue, it's only half a page. And you can start doing the first few exercises for homework. First few exercises. Alright? First two at least. Alright. English key, back of the book, page 28, lesson number 11. This is a revision lesson. Very short lesson. A revision lesson means we're just reviewing some things that we had. It contains only two new words. Two new words. Uhibbu and fihi or fiha. Uhibbu means what?
Love.
I love. Uhibbu, I love. Fihi means
in
it or in.
Him.
It's masculine. Fiha means what?
In
it or in her. Okay? Number one, fihi means in it. And it also means in him. Because he is taking the place of what? Who. The pronoun who that we had up here. Who. Okay? But because whenever it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukun, the Dhamma of the pronoun who becomes he. And the same thing with the plural pronoun whom. If it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukun, it becomes him. Like you say, al-anbiya or al-rasul, al-rusul, the messengers, right, or the anbiya. You say alayhimussalam, alayhim. You don't say alayhum, because it's preceded by ya with sukun, so the whom becomes him. And peace be upon him, alayhimussalam. So you have fihi means in it. For example, who is in the house? Man fil bayti. Who is in the house? Fihi abi wa ummi. In it are my father and my mother, or there are my father and my mother in it. Literally, fihi, abi, in it is my father, wa ummi, and my mother, fihi. Tayyib. Number two, the feminine is fiha. For example, who is in the room? Man fil gurfati. Al gurfa means what? The room. Naam. Fiha akhi. In it is my brother. Or there is my brother in it. Okay, so this is one thing. Fi, when it's used with the pronoun hu, it becomes fi he instead of fi hu. And with the pronoun ha, it remains normal. Fi ha. The other thing is uhibbu, means I love or I like. For example, uhibbu abi wa ummi wa akhi wa ukhti. That means I love my abi, my what? Father. Wa ummi, my mother. Wa akhi, my brother. Wa ukhti, my sister. Naam. And you can also say, we'll come to it, inshallah. I see it's on the bottom of the page. I don't need to say it. Five. Notice here, right? This is a point that we need to pay attention to. This is a little bit, yani, important. The object of the verb is in the accusative case. What do we mean by accusative? We mean this, mansoob. We said the nouns in Arabic are normally marfoon. They take dhamma. And sometimes they are majroor on taking kasra. When are they majroor? When they're following a preposition. Or when they are... No. When they are in the... Idhafa. Mudhafan ilay. The second part of idhafa, mudhafan ilay, is always majroor with kasra. Now, there's a new case that we didn't talk about before. We mentioned it, but we didn't study it. And that is what they call in English the accusative case. That's mansoob. The object of a verb, the one that the action is happening to, is called the maf'ulun bi, the object of a verb. And the maf'ulun bi, the object of a verb, is always mansoob. And that means that it takes fatha. Unless that object of the verb has ya al-mutakallam, because we said ya al-mutakallam always has to be preceded by what vowel? Ya al-mutakallam always has to be preceded by a kasra. Ya al-mutakallam, ya, when you say kitab, kitabi, bayti, always has to be preceded by kasra. Okay, so what we're saying here is ya al-mutakallam requires that the word is attached to, that it has to be preceded by a kasra. You can't say Abu Abu and then put Ya on it. In Daraji, in colloquial language, street language, they might say that, Abuya. That's really incorrect. That's not proper Arabic. But really you have to say Abi. Abi. Ummi. Okay? Otherwise, if it's not Ya al-Mutakallam, the object of a verb is Mansoob. Here he said in English what? Accusative case. That means it takes Fatta. Fatta. And that's what we want to mention here. The object of the verb is in the accusative case. It's mansoob. I.e., it takes a fatta ending. But, it does not appear in a noun which has the possessive pronoun of the first person attached to it. What is the possessive pronoun of the first person? These are all possessive pronouns. Ka is the second person. Who is the third person masculine? Ha is the third person feminine. And ya is the possessive pronoun for the first person. So he's saying, if it has the possessive pronoun of the first person, this ya of the speaker that represents the one who is speaking, in that case, the fatha vowel at the ending does not appear. Normally, the word that's the object of the verb has to take fatta, it's mansoob, it's accusative, unless it's attached to the possessive pronoun of the first person, that is, ya al-mutakallam. Here are some examples of the object without the possessive pronoun of the first person. Okay, in these cases, the object does not have the ya al-mutakallam. So that object has to be accusative, it has to be mansoob, it has to take what vowel? Fatah. What you said? You don't know.
No, I.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were saying you don't know. I'm glad you wasn't saying you don't know. Because we just got finished saying that the object of the verb is mansub. It's accusative. It must take fatah vowel. Okay? Remember, brothers and sisters, nouns in Arabic originally always take dhamma. Okay? If you don't know when you're reading, just put dhamma, khalas. If you don't know, put dhamma. But if you see something that might change it, like a preposition, you know it has to take what? Kasra. If it's the mudhafun ilay, second part of the mudhafun construction has to take kasra. Now we're saying there's another action, amil, another thing that causes the noun to change. That is a verb. When a verb is followed by an object, that's the object of the verb that the action of the verb is happening to, that noun is in the accusative case. It's mansub and it has to take fatah. So here are some examples. Uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu is a verb, right? I love. The love is happening to what? Allah. Who do you love? I love Allah. Uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu Allah. Naam. So it's mansub. Takes fatah. Uhibbu ar-rasoola. I love the messenger. I love who? Ar-rasoola. Uhibbu rasoolallahi. Uhibbu rasoolallahi. I love what? The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, uhibbu al-lughata al-arabiyyata. Uhibbu al-lughata al-arabiyyata. What does that mean? I love the Arabic language. Notice that the object of the verb, what do you love? I love the language. Which language? Al-arabiyya. Al-arabiyya is a knot describing lugha. It's a knot describing lugha. Okay? So al-lughah is really the object of the verb. And it's mansub. And al-arabiyya is the knot describing lugha, and the knot has to agree with the man'ut, right? So it also has to take fatah. Now, here we learn, page 29, top of the page, the end of the key, here we learn, tuhibbu, you love, masculine singular. Uhibbu, I love. Tuhibbu, you love. Okay? Atuhibbu Allah. Do you love Allah? Atuhibbu lughataka? Atuhibbu lughataka? Do you love your language? Man tuhibbu? Whom do you love? Mada tuhibbu? What do you love? Okay, I have a question quickly before we close out. The first sentence on this last page. Atuhibbu Allah. A is Hamzatul Istifham, making a question, right? A tuhibbu Allah. The object of the love is Allah. So it's mansub with fatah, right? What about in the next sentence? What is the object of the love in the next sentence? A tuhibbu lughataka. What is the object of the love here? Lughata or lughataka? Or is it the ka? The fatta for the object of the verb, which fatta is it? Is it lughata or lughata ka? Ta. Okay, because the word here is lugha. Lugha. So the word that's mansub is lughata. And as far as the ka, that's a pronoun. A possessive pronoun that's attached to the word. Okay, so here, wa alaykum salam, the object of the verb is lughata. That's why lughata has fatta. Ka automatically has fatah because the pronoun ka is always kitabuka, baytuka, ummuka. It's always fatah. That's mabniun. It remains always as a fatah. Okay? Man tuhibbu? Who do you love? Mada tuhibbu? What do you love? Okay? So here, mada is having the same meaning as the word we had in the first lesson number 1. What word is that? That has the same meaning as mada. Huh? What does mada mean? What? So what word do we have that means what in lesson number one?
Ma.
Ma. Ma. Ma hadha. Okay, don't forget. Ma means what? Yarhamukallah. Mada means also what? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.